If you are joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 80 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is February 14th. We are live on Twitch. So if you're joining us on Twitch, it is February 12th. As part of our Black History Month here at the Weekly Cooldown, we'll be doing things a little bit differently and chatting about our Black experiences as Black gamers. And talking a little bit about Black gamer history. But before all of that, let's do a quick headline recap. The co-creator of Dead Space has a new 2K game studio focused on working on a new intellectual property. The studio, which is now called 31st Union, is working on what the leader of the studio is calling an ambitious and inspired new IP. In an investor call, 2K Games' parent company says that more news about the new game from 31st Union will be coming in the next coming months. According to the studio, they will be focusing only on making games based around this new property, which is perhaps a bit strange for a studio, new or old. Dragon Ball FighterZ's Season 3 is on the way, adding two new characters, Kefla and the seventh Goku character in the game, Ultra Instinct Goku from Dragon Ball Super. In addition to those characters, the game is also getting a Z Assist feature, which will allow players to choose one of three specific assists for each team member, which can potentially change gameplay dramatically for competitive players. Some airports in the United States are now offering new Nintendo Switch kiosks, or they will be offering Nintendo Switch kiosks, but only for a limited time. Nintendo is describing these as pop-ups and will include a game list that includes Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, Super Mario Party, and others. You can also order a Switch at the kiosk, which will get you a free carrying case and a free Switch-branded luggage handle wrap, like you needed one of those, and a coupon for Target to use at any any Nintendo purchase of $75 or more. The four U.S. airports getting the special treatment are Dulles International from February 16th to March 29th, O'Hare International Airport from February 17th to March 29th, Seattle-Tacoma International from February 17th to March 29th, and Dallas Love Field Airport from February 13th to March 26th. On Monday, February 10th, T-Pain streamed Doom Eternal for 2 hours. The rapper and producer was joined by art director of Doom Eternal, Hugo Martin. Doom Eternal is not yet released, but this was clearly a bit of a stunt and a pretty cool one to get people interested in the game and to see first gameplay hands-on with T-Pain and from someone from the development team. Doom Eternal is set to release on March 20th, 2020. And those are just some of the big headlines for this week. Again, if I missed anything or if there's something more you want to talk about, tweet at me on Twitter. That's where you tweet things. Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter or WK Cooldown on Twitter or join us on Discord and let me know all about what I missed. Let's talk more about it. Guys, that's what all I want to do is talk all the time. You know this. I have a podcast for that reason. So just like, you know, do it, man. Just do it. Anyways. Oh, you can also talk to us on Twitch, I guess. You know, there's a way to talk. Anyways, all that's over. So as you know, for this month, February, I am hosting Black creators, Black gamers, content creators, whoever they are, on the show so that we can really get down into the nitty-gritty. And so it took me quite some time to set all this up, but I have a friend here who's going to join me in a moment. I didn't really ask what he wants to be called, but I'm going to call him Death Monkey XL. Al.
Hello. Am I good?
Yes, you sound wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
I'm glad.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here is the real deal, Holyfield. Now, you do a lot of content creation centered around gaming. Tell us just a little bit about it.
Oh, I have a YouTube channel, Death Monkey XL Gaming, where I just, well, just kind of want to just talk about games there. Trying to build up the audience there, I guess, first so people can have more of a discussion. So now I'm focusing on information and reviews and stuff like that. But then once get a bigger community, I'll try to get people to have a little bit more discussion topics popped up.
Yeah. Now, the reason I wanted you to come on this show is because you did a YouTube video recently that was like top five, you said, like Black gaming, like history makers or something like that. I can't remember the exact wording. But you
game changers.
Right. Game changers. That's awesome. And so you basically highlighted not only a very important figure in Black gaming related to the Atari, I believe, but also up and coming and other Black gaming developers who are doing something pretty cool or earth-shattering within the community.
Yeah, I had a Jerry Lawson who took the time to, they told him it was impossible to do, so he decided to go ahead and do it, is make the first cartridge-based system.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And then there are some other people that all focused on handling, you know, making sure that there's more diversity in the industry, stuff like that. And there's a lot of people in the game industry that are in the background that you don't see or know. But I try to, for this video, I specifically looked at people that were trying to push forth a change in the industry or being like a leader in getting things, changing up the game, I guess.
And that's what we like here. We like game changers. On that note, what do you have anything else planned so far as Black gamers go for your channel?
Well, I just did the characters on there. Black video game characters. Tried to pick out five. There's a lot of them. But I wanted to get some that weren't really that known. I was trying to. There's so many that we see that we already know that we just know. But there's a lot of people that just kind of overlook or haven't been out released yet or people don't know about. So I try to focus on those. Aside from one, I think, was Lifeline. Everybody knows that because everybody's playing Apex Legends.
Right.
Everybody else in there, I think, is pretty, it's pretty low-key.
Lifeline speaks to the island in me so much.
Lifeline's the best character in the game. I don't know.
Really?
I think so.
No.
I don't play it, so I don't know about any of the new characters. So
there you go.
I played it when it first came out, and I was like, hey, that's my character.
Yeah. So same thing. I started playing it when it first came out. I was really, really, really into Lifeline and, who's the other one? Bangalore is really cool, but that's not who I'm thinking of. Can't remember. But
Wraith?
No, it was...
The Hunter dude? Blood.
Bloodhound, yes. Yeah. I was really, really into the Bloodhound as like a playable character, but I was so surprised that right out of the gate, there were two Black women characters, and both of them fairly confident too. You know, they're not like, they're not like the image of women that most games portray. They're like strong, like I'm gonna fuck you up women. Right. So I really enjoyed that about how Apex kind of set itself apart from a couple of other, Battle Royale games, and I played it for quite a while, and then I was like, okay, I think I'm done with this. I'm not very good at it, so I'm just gonna leave it to everybody else. But
Battle Royale games are tough.
Yeah, they are, especially if you don't have like your friend group of like two other people to like make things a little bit better. So
communication's key in that one.
So I was just like, no, I think I'm gonna let this one slide. But now I'm getting back into it because of the newest character, Revenant, and also just simply because of, if you listen to last week's episode, some stuff Cliff Brzezinski had to say, that I was just like, I'm not a fan of that. So I'm gonna go play Apex Legends now, just out of spite. So that was kind of my feeling on it. But that's awesome. Let's maybe quickly talk about some Black gaming characters, right? So you highlighted five in your video.
Who were
those five?
So the first one was Mark Tyler from Power Punch 2 on the NES.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a Mike Tyson game, but Mike Tyson would go to some legal troubles back then, so they changed it around to Mark Tyler.
Right.
So they'll still list him as Mike Tyson, but I'd rather him still keep his name as Mark Tyler because that's the character now. So
exactly.
It's Mark Tyler. It was said Lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Bleeding Edge game coming out soon. The lead character in there, his name is Damon.
Oh, he's from New York. Right.
He's from New York. He's a graffiti artist. Something happened to his mom. Corporate didn't work out, so she ended up dying, I guess. And his whole thing is like he's getting revenge on the corporate, and that's where the whole Bleeding Edge thing comes from. He's like building cyber army of hackers and stuff to take out corporations in the world. And Bleeding Edge is just the underground fighting tournament to find hackers. So that's why that game came into being. So he's like the leader of the game, pretty much. He's the whole reason the whole game exists.
It's his character. I forgot about Bleeding Edge. Very good. Okay.
And then Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Mm.
I can't remember her name. It's a French name. But the character there, it was on PS Vita, and then they released it later on the thing. But she's a African-French assassin. Mm-hmm. In Louisiana and New Orleans at the time. So she's freeing slaves and all that stuff back in the day. And then last one I did was two characters in the game coming out from Arkane Studios who did Dishonored. Arkane Studios in Paris is called Deathloop. And the two characters is Colt and, man, why can't I remember this chick's name? Yeah, Colt and Juliana is her name. And they both are they're both the main characters in the game. The player switches between both of them. So it's like, it's a loop, right? So like when one kills the other person, like you've seen like Groundhog's Day and like Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. It's like that. Die, come back, repeat the same, repeat the day or whatever again. So you have a chance to like prevent yourself from dying and kill the other person, but then that person comes back. It's like they both are locked into a loop like that with each other.
Right. So yeah,
you're trying to break that loop. Or
I was desperately trying to remember the name of that game when I was doing last week's episode because I wanted to highlight those characters because I think I don't know what the game's about, so I can't say that I can't speak to their character, but they are the most well designed black characters I've seen in a very long time. I wish I knew more about the story. I want the game to be out like right now because it also looks really fun to.
Yeah, they haven't given a lot of detail about it. We know they're on an island, or not an island, whatever little area of town they're in, and the main guy character is trying to break the loop. So his whole thing is he don't want to be in this loop where he keeps coming to come back and, you know, there's other enemies in the game and everything too, but he doesn't want to be in the loop. And then the female character, she wants to continue the loop, I guess.
Right.
But I think at some point in time, they're going to find out they're being pawns in the system and they're going to have to work together to figure out how to.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. Ooh, fun stuff.
Yeah, you know how those developers do if we play Dishonored. I figure there's always like some hitting in the background where they find out like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about that game too much. Okay. I'm really excited for that game. Ooh. Okay. So I hope it comes out this year. So then I can be a truly happy boy. So that's awesome. Now when did you start your YouTube channel?
Well, I started it a long time ago. I had another YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
A long time, 2007 or 8 or something like that. Okay. And that channel, I just did like multiple things, vlogs and such. And then I let it go because work and life and stuff like that. Just people still go to it. I don't know if anybody's seen the What If Such and Such had lyrics. There's like a lot of those. What If Justice League had lyrics, stuff like that. Those videos doing pretty good on their own without me touching them. Yeah, like that one the other day, it had like 168,000 views. I was like, what?
All of a sudden, wow.
I didn't even touch that channel.
Right.
But this channel, I decided to focus it more on gaming. I did this one in 2015, but I didn't touch it for a while. And now I'm just going hard this year trying to make stuff happen.
Right. And you're doing very good. I'm quite happy.
Trying to. Thanks.
That's all we are trying to
Trying
do.
to grow, trying to get better. Yeah.
So let's kind of talk about the experience as a black gamer. Why are you gaming? I guess is the question. What was your start? Well, how did you start?
Gaming is in my it's my DNA pretty much, I guess, at this point. Like
Yep, I was gonna say at this point it might as well be.
my grandparents had started the whole thing in our house, I think. So
Really?
I live with my grandparents, my mom and all that stuff. So they had the Intellivision and then the Commodore 64 and all that stuff. So
Wow.
I was just there the whole time growing up with all of it. Never she was, my grandma was in the, is into computers like that. So that's where I got all that gaming energy from.
Going
And even
very far
really,
back.
since birth, came out with a
Right.
controller.
Oh my gosh,
But
how great.
yeah,
That's
I'm old
awesome.
man, so.
Well, I don't know about that. So in recent years, I guess, what's kept you in the loop? Sometimes when gamers start one place, like if you start with a N64 or even older, and you go back to Sega Genesis or NES or Atari or whatever, they tend to kind of grow up, as some people say, right? They kind of phase out of the gaming zeitgeist. So what kept you in the loop?
It's like, people that like music or movies when they are young and they grow up to be an actor or a musician. I just want to be in that space, in that industry, and that I like it. It's fun. It's entertaining. It tells stories. It puts people together, a whole bunch of stuff. It does a lot of things. So it's
Right.
something I always wanted to be a part of. I just never let that go.
Yeah. I
So
like it.
it's
That's
another
like
reason why I put the YouTube channel for it. Like I'm trying to push hard in there because I got like a degree in music production, but then my day job's taking up a lot of time for me to actually try to work on sound design and get portfolios built up. So I'm like, if I could put some energy into content creation, get that going, maybe I can slide in somewhere, foot in the door here, there, and then from there I can put more time into doing something else.
that's kind of how the podcast started too. Because I had a friend, actually a teacher where I went to college, who was the hiring manager at my local radio station. And when I went to go interview, he was like, "Well, we don't have anything right now, but you have a really great voice for radio. You should come back some other time and maybe give it a try freelancing if you can, blah 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 blah." And I was like, okay, thanks. And I had heard the whole you have a nice voice for radio before, but hearing it from him, I was like, okay, maybe he knows what he's talking about, because he's got the job.
Right.
So I was like, maybe I could give it a try. And so I decided I would start a podcast, because I had been listening to a ton of podcasts back then too. And I decided I wanted it to be something I'm kind of passionate about, but not like something boring. So I started this, and here we are 2 years later.
Hold on, oh, 2 years. We'll say, how long have you been doing the podcast? 2 years.
2 years as of last October, so coming up on 3 in I can't do math. 9 months.
And the rest of the year.
Yep. Yeah, basically at the
The
end of the year. Yeah, the rest.
end
So yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So it's I like hearing about the stories behind gamers, especially because it's always something a little different, right? So you're saying your grandparents started you on video games, which I think is incredible, because I've never heard that before. But I started with, like, my mom and my brother playing like NES, and we would sit around and play Super Mario Brothers 3. For the most part, that was like the only game we ever played. And then my brother was like, "Oh, I've got a Sega Genesis, let's play Sonic. Oh, I've got, let's get a PlayStation." And then he kind of grew out of it, but I was like, "No, I want to keep up with all of this. I want to keep playing Final Fantasy and all these other video games." So I kept up with it while he watched. And that it kind of it's weird, because he started watching me play video games, and then my younger sister was born. She started watching me play video games too. So it was like it kind of kept it all in the family for a while. And then I ran with it, and I'm a fucking nerd. no, I'm fine. I guess.
Yeah. Does she play video games? Does she jump into it?
She doesn't, and it's kind of upsetting. Because I really tried to put that into her, like play these video games. But when I was done with my old Nintendo DS, I gave it to her, and her idea of a good time was whatchamacallit, like Disney video games. So she would get like old Game Boy Advance, like Disney Princess video games, and they're actually solid games. You do kind of, there's like side scrollers, you are basically Sonic except as a Disney princess. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. And I would watch her play them and get progressively better at them. And then she was like, okay, but I want to play the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody video game now. And I'm like, can we play like a real game, right? Can we play like something else? But she was really stuck on those for a while. Every now and then she'll say, hey, let's play something. And it's very rare. But I guess I did kind of instill it in her for a little while. Just for a little while.
And then you told her games weren't real and made it not fun anymore.
Well, I didn't tell her. She came to the conclusion on her own. No, I'm kidding.
It's real games. Put that Sims down.
Well, I try not to do that because one thing I really hate is gatekeeping. And it's something that gets done with tons of games, tons of communities within video games, right? People are always trying to keep other people out of playing video games, or keep people out of the gaming community by, you know, saying, well, that's not a real game. You know, Call of Duty is, they do the same thing every time. Those aren't real games anymore. Well, they are. People play them. People play them competitively. So they are real video games. And like, fuck you, guy.
It was made. It's a game on a video. So
work hard on it. It's a video game. So I don't know. I just try and always say, like, if you play Candy Crush, I have news for you. You're a nerd now. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them.
Mobile games make more money than actual games.
So. It's a very true statement. Mobile games are gaining a lot of popularity as of recent years. And you know what? Them's the times. There's nothing we can do about it, really. It's just how it is. Just how it is. So earlier we talked a little bit about the gaming history and the gaming future that you kind of showed us in your YouTube video. So I wanted to quickly ask, are there any other like up-and-coming game people who you are looking at in the Black community and in the gaming community who are kind of like doing something really cool or making some kind of a stride in the community?
Well, there's a couple of people. One of the people's here in Detroit. I think I talked to you earlier off stream about it. Ariel Knights on Twitter. He's got a game coming out. He doesn't really know me, but I've been kind of following his career on Facebook and Twitter through the Black game development groups and stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty good. Talented artist in that game he has coming out. Looks pretty good. I think it's called like Don't Stop Running or something, or Keep Moving.
Like a
Never Yield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks, like looks pretty cool.
Absolutely.
And then another guy, Owen Jones, I believe his last name is. He has started he was doing real big things. I found him in a group also on Facebook where he had a movie, like a little mini series on HBO called Black Salt. And he take that. It was a comic book. And he was getting ready to get an animated TV show on Nickelodeon. I'm not sure how that's going right now. Mm-hmm. He has a game coming out based on it also on PC. It's on Steam right now. It's a fighting game, Black Salt. And then it'll be on Switch here soon. So those are big moves.
You hear that? Hear that? Black people, there's a video. There's a fighting game. Let me tell you something. We dominate there. So you go pick up that game. I'm actually looking at the video for Black Salt, the fighting game. And it looks, it takes cues from like, at least it looks like it to me, like Tekken.
There's, yeah, it has a lot like of 3D.
3D stages, a lot of body juggling when you attack. I'm into it. I like it a lot.
The juggling looks pretty solid.
It does. It does. In fact, this is probably one of the better indie fighting games I've seen in quite a while. So, you know, go look it up. It's on Steam. It looks really good. It's got a really awesome looking black character with a sword, like a katana. I'm into it. I'm into all of this right now. So yeah, definitely check that out. Taz, isn't Master P producing that? I don't know. Is he?
Yeah, I just looked it up. It looks like he does have his hand in it a little bit, helping it go along.
It's published by No Limit. That's amazing.
That part I didn't know. But yeah,
that's news to me. And that's what we do here. We break the news. We don't break the news. We make the news. No, we don't do that either. But that's really cool.
Let the news be known.
There we go. Oh, I like that. Okay. Wow. Black Salt, produced by Master P, and also say the man's name again.
I want to say his last name is Owen Jones, but Owen I want to double check here. Let's
see. Mm-mm-mm. It just looks like a really good game, too. I mean,
Owen Ratliff. I don't know where I got Jones from.
Okay, Owen Ratliff. See, that's why I asked again, because we got to get it right. Okay, so all that being said, well done to Black Salt, and go pick it up. Okay, on that note, let us move on to the news, because we do have some, and it is time to talk about it. Starting up with this. Okay, so the only reason this is on here, I gotta be real with everyone. The only reason the story is on here is because I find it to be completely tone deaf, and I want to make fun of it. It's really, really bad. I don't know why it popped up on my news feed, but it did, and it sounds both really funny and also super scary, and so I just want to put it out there. So. And by the way, this is coming from foxnews.com. I don't go there. I don't know why it was here, but anyway, Fox News headline is reporting, the U.S. Army wants to use gamers' brainwaves to train military robot swarms. A group of experts wants to study the brainwaves and eye movements of people playing a video game in order to build an advanced AI that could coordinate the actions of military robots. Is this not the most Terminator shit you've ever heard in your life? I mean, think about this, okay? The article goes on to say, the study of 25 video game players will include real-time strategy games such as StarCraft, Stellaris, and Company of Heroes. I mean, I get it, okay? you want to combat the growing scary times, so you're like, I know who I'm going to plug. I know who I'm going to grab to train the next robot army. Gamers, they know what's happening.
It doesn't make sense. Like, if you keep in the article, it's almost something they want to know what makes a gamer makes the decision it makes or something like that. Like, pretty much get into the soul of a gamer, and it's like impossible to do because it's such quick thinking, and computers, like the brain thinks faster than computers technically. So there's no way if you want a computer thinking that fast, and
it's really scary because this is technically coming from a there are scientists working on this, right? So a professor at the UB school, which is actually where I'm from, or where I live anyway, in Buffalo, she says the idea is to eventually scale up to 250 aerial and ground robots working in highly complex situations. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to take the gamer brain and develop it in such a way that the robot will then be able to make not only the snap decisions that are made in video games, but also like the right decisions, because I can guarantee that even the best gamers that I've played with, that I've seen on Twitch and YouTube and all that, have shot their friends in their video games. So what say you, scientist?
And then when they mess up, are they going to throw themselves against the wall? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Are they going to have really shitty opinions about women in video games?
I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem like they can try it. But somebody mentioned like America's Army. I didn't want to bring it up, but
yeah,
that game was like back in early 2010. The Army made a game where it was like free for everybody, and the whole thing was to like find people with great hand-eye coordination to be trained for the Army. Like, it was an Army game made by the Army, teaching you all the Army stuff.
And then you know what we did with the Army? We just modded it because we wanted the assets from the game, but not the actual game. So great job, America's Army, you propaganda machine. Taz said something. Taz says something really funny. Taz the Tanzanian Devil in Twitch chat says, get the robots to download my brain so they mash DP on wake up. And that's like peak fighting game knowledge that you really have to know to like understand. But at the same time, it's hilarious because I can imagine like a robot. Down. Yeah, a robot falls on the ground and they're like, shrieking. I will also say this, by the way, if you are some kind of scientist out there listening to this podcast, or like you're just really smart in general, because I'm not smart, let me know if there's some actual science to this, because obviously there is. It just seems so absurd that we would go here.
Well, I mean, that's what they did with the chess robots. Like the chess robots, they had them learn from, they had the AI learn from pro chess players. So that's how the robots learn how to play chess. But like the robots, the games that they're playing doesn't equate to real life like chess does. You know what I'm saying? Like chess is that's chess. Fair. Like yeah. Warfare is not going to be the same. So if I'm playing StarCraft, they're going to go gather pylons first and then try to do whatever they got to do. Like they have to build an army and do all this other stuff before they decide. They have to gather troops and then send all the troops to one thing, then all those troops die. They're like, oh, I don't send those troops this time. Like, it's like, it's not like, it's trial and error with StarCraft. You don't just jump in and know what you're doing automatically.
That's so, very true. Clearly, they need to play Overwatch because nothing ever goes wrong with Overwatch.
As long as they just, you know, protect the payload, everything's there.
Thank you. Thank you. See, maybe this will work. Maybe I'm being too skeptical right off the bat. Maybe this will work. Okay, enough about that. It's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, but so enough about that.
And it's like, it says $360 million or something like that, or $360,000 was spent, like a grant in that article.
Yeah. So for as much money as UB has, you know, they still need some kind of grant. And I guess for as much as we spend on military in this country, they could only really afford to give us $316,000 to start the study, which I guess is why 25 and only 25 gamers are being chosen for this study.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And why they chose RTS games instead of, like, I don't know, anything else.
What are you gonna putting what? VR helmets on everybody?
Yeah. Why didn't you pick like Resident Evil, like the best game to play to figure out, holy crap, what am I supposed to do in this situation? okay. Enough about that though. Because I just honestly, I just wanted to make fun of it. Okay. So let's move on to this next story that we've got. Minnesota's first Black game dev studio owned and operated, first game dev studio owned and operated by a Black dev releases Hyperdot. So this is one of, this is someone who has a studio in Minnesota specifically, and they've landed a really cool deal with Xbox. So the game he created that is going to be, I guess, given over to Xbox is called Hyperdot. It kind of looks like what's that game on like Itch.io or whatever it's called? Itch.io.
Itch.io.
Yeah, where you're kind of like the circle and you're eating the other circles or something like that. Anyways, it's fun. I was tutoring some kids and they wanted to play it all the time, and I was like, listen, Agaria, thank you. I was like, listen, we can't do this. We have to do your studies, but also, like, we'll do it later. But anyway, so it's kind of like that. It's a very kind of, I don't want to call it simple because it isn't, but it's very simple in its design, I suppose. You have some circles. You're trying to dodge some other circles. You know, it's kind of like a last man standing sort of deal. You're not necessarily eating the other ones, but you're trying to kind of stay alive. And it looks like a battle royale without it being a battle royale. So in this article by tech.mn, which is, I believe, a Minnesotan tech magazine, the man's name is Charles McGregor. He has a St. Paul-based studio called Tribes Games, which is releasing Hyperdot, as I just discussed, in what looks like the now Xbox kind of version of it. It looks like it's kind of upscaled a little bit. There's a lot of shadows and stuff like that. I don't know if that was there before, but it looks like maybe it was added as he got the deal with Xbox. All the same, very cool. Very excited for him, very happy for him, because I don't know that there's a whole lot of Black developers with, you know, big deals like this. So great job. His name is Charles McGregor. Charles McGregor, come on the show, Charles. Okay, that's it. But what do you think about this? It's pretty cool.
It's cool. It's cool because it is like an inspiration for other people to jump in and say, oh, you know, somebody was able to make it and they seemed like a pretty young person, so took the time and studied and got it going. Then, you know, anybody else can do it. A lot of people don't feel like they have the ability to sit there and take the time to do that. But like, he did the animation and the coding and the music for it. So that's a lot of work. At the same time, I'm kind of conflicted because not like a really like, you know, like a high tech game, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you see like other games being made and have like a lot more features going into it. It's still kind of like a Geometry Wars or something like that.
Right. It looks like it started as a school project about anti-piracy measures. It was made in just 4 days. He went over to his dad and started, like, which is really cool, by the way. His dad knew some computer science skills, so he went and got some coding tips, and before you knew it, Hyperdot was born.
It's like a game jam game. It's like a lot of game jam games that get put on the stores and stuff like that, too. So it's cool that he was able to get that, take advantage of that. I'm not sure if Minnesota has any, like, grants. I know some states have grants for a game company, so... That could also been a help, and he has a publisher to help get out there.
Now,
so whatever helps push his dreams through. That's cool. Now I can take it on and take it to the next level.
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple weeks ago, we had someone on who has a podcast that focuses on indie games, and so while we're on the story of Charles McGregor and Hyperdot and his studio, I wanted to kind of see if we could highlight some other Black indie game developers. Do you know any off the top of your head?
I do not. Ooh. I knew those two that I topped. I knew those two that I mentioned earlier.
Yes, that's right. So the, mention them again.
But like, those Ariel Knight, his name was Neil Jones, forgot Jones from, and then Owen Ratliff.
That's right. That's right. So we got to find some more. Let's see. Let's do some Black indie game developers.
I remember hearing about the lady that did the Herna game, where it's a game. I think it might be a mobile game or a small game where the whole purpose is like you're a black woman and you've got like hands blocking people from trying to touch your hair.
That's a great idea. This looks amazing. A travel game about a black woman who is tired of people touching her hair. Oh my God. I am in love with that. Okay. That's truly, truly, truly amazing.
I hear that. I hear that all the time. My sister complains about people touching their hair.
It's a pretty big deal. Because
and it's like when it said, oh, your hair is so soft. Oh, it's such the texture.
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. I had an issue. Well, not an issue, but like I went and I got my hair twisted not too long ago. And I appreciate the compliments that I got on it. But also, it was like the biggest deal in the world that I had done something with my hair. And I was like, y'all do stuff with your hair every day. And I don't hear nothing from y'all, but when I do it. No, I don't mean to make a huge fuss out of it. But I did feel kind of some type of way. There is a game by the name of Pandora that someone linked me a while back. I don't know that it's made by a black person. However, for an indie game that seems to be about some kind of action adventure and you seem to make your own character, the characters look very good. And there is also a black character in it that looks very good and it still has all the, you know, the vibe of a fantasy game, at least in kind of a European-esque kind of way. You know, the hair, the clothes and all that is very fantasy. So I think it's really, really looking good there. It's a shame I didn't come up with a few more to talk about, but
well, there's one here that's kind of put up. It's called Orion Legacy of the Curry Odan.
Yes, I heard about that. That one
from Central African. First from a Central African developer, Cameroonian Studios.
Yes.
That one looks pretty good.
Do you know, is there any information there of it progressing? Is it out?
I heard it released in 2016 on Steam.
Oh man, I'm feeling terrible now. I feel terrible if it's already out because I wanted to really get into that.
So many games come out. Yes, $14.99.
All right. Well, I got my tax return, so I will be getting that. That's awesome. I did want to highlight a game, now that I think about it, called Swordsfall. I follow Swordsfall on Twitter because it's a Afropunk sci-fi fantasy role-playing universe. And it's set in a similar kind of fantasy area. There's more black characters in it. It's not extremely European, I suppose. And it the art looks amazing and beautiful. It's made all by hand, so it's actually a tabletop game, I believe. And all the art I see from it is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'll link some in the description too, so people can see it if they want. And it's like one of those unapologetically black things. the women have very natural hairstyles, very varied styles. I mean, anyone who says that they can't come up with any more black hairstyles is lying, because there's just so many different hairstyles. So many different ways of styling just the characters in general, and it's very beautiful.
You said know where to look
to find. Yeah, them. Right. Look at Swordsfall. Swordsfall is on Kickstarter, I believe. The Kickstarter is the campaign is over, but you can still pre-order the game on Swordsfall.com. So you can also get the art book and stuff. It's about $30, I believe. I would check it out.
I'm looking at the page now. Yeah, like a lot of stuff, a lot of classes. About, I don't know, a lot. 25, 30 classes.
Afro punk sci-fi fantasy. You don't play, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So check awesome. Out Swords Fall. And thank you to all you indie developers out there. We are not worthy. Okay. On that note, oh yes.
Oh, so I tried to make a game once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What happened? Games.
So I like rhythm games. So I tried to work on something like that. And it was just like a little test. And then I did one just to get the coding down where it's like you're a dude in the middle of the screen and all these like alien ball things are floating towards you. You just kind of have to shoot and they just keep coming and overwhelm you. They eventually die. Just call it like you're going to die because it's going to happen. Eventually you're going to die in this game because it's just like this eventually overwhelm you and take over you. But it's like a high score building game type of thing. So kill as many of the things you can until you die, pretty much.
I like it though. I mean, so you made it with the intention of learning the coding, which is
to learning the coding and getting some sound design and music stuff like that in there. Yeah, but I did like the little artwork and everything for it, and had the animations going stuff like that. So it was a little time.
Very nice, very nice. That's more than I've ever done. So good for you.
Whatever I can get to, whatever skill I could try to learn a little bit to get me just a little bit closer to getting into the industry. Kind of touch on a little bit of everything, I think.
That's how I feel about it, too. Well done, well done, well done. All right, well, we're going to wrap up the show now. And to wrap up the show, I always ask my guest to give a recommendations to our listeners, to our friends here on Twitch. Thank you for joining us. What game or games should we be on the lookout for, and where can we find them?
Well, I'm playing... Right now, I've been playing Ori and the Blind Forest. It's a really good game. I'm surprised it's so long to get to it. And then the sequel comes out next month. Mm-hmm. So right now, if you have Xbox Game Pass, it's on there, free. Because you have Game Pass, so you can get it that way.
Yep.
Both of them will be on there. So when the new one comes out, it'll be on Game Pass also. Other than that, you can get it off of Steam and everything like that for, I think, like $20.
Very good.
Those are really good. If you like Metroidvania type games, very colorful.
Metroidvania, oh no.
Best way I can describe it, like if you played, somebody else looked at it and said it reminded me a lot like Hollow Knight. So if you play Hollow Knight or anything like that, you'll like it for sure. It's really good. It's really pretty. I am playing Final Fantasy 14. I've been playing two things, Final Fantasy 14. That's my game. It's my jam. Ready for the new patch.
Oh, a fellow 14er. What server do you play on?
I'm on Genova.
Genova. Is that on?
It's on the Aether data center.
We're friends. We're friends. I'm on Balmung.
We have a crowded data center.
Okay, well, you know what? It's not our fault. It's not our fault that we're popular. No, that's cool, though. We're friends on Final Fantasy 14. Let's see, Mokuda, third in the Twitch chat, has been playing Slay the Spire, which is a good one. And they picked up The Mummy Demastered, and it's such a cheesy run-and-shoot Metroidvania. I love that. The Mummy Demastered. I'm going to look into that some more. Amazing.
That's crazy. Like, say yes, that mummy, so the movie.
Yeah, the movie. Oh my gosh. I got to look into that. It's an SNES style one. Okay. Well, nice. I'm going to
check that out.
Definitely. I have been recommending this game for a few weeks now. I'm recommending Mafia 3. If you've heard previous podcasts, then you know why. I'm going to be putting out a bonus episode probably this weekend about Mafia 3. And the reason is because Mafia 3 takes place in the 60s in Louisiana in the South. And you play as a black man in the South. And it is extremely interesting how they weave a very familiar play style, in that it plays much like a Grand Theft Auto game. You ride around, you do missions, and the story kind of progresses from there. but they've interwoven a very, very serious and very race heavy story on it. And they use the N-word more times than I'd like to count.
I remember there was a lot of backlash on that game for that.
Yes.
They're like, it's period. So we're trying to convey this is what it was like. You
know, it was really, really difficult. And I bring this up in the bonus episode and in past episodes I spoke on it, but there is, yes, you do get to crash a KKK meeting with Tommy Gunn, so it's like, it is definitely worth it. But although I don't condone violence, but anyway, there is a part in the game that I got to where for some reason I had to go to a gas station, and I walked into the gas station and the game music immediately gets really, really heavy and somber and like scary sounding, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And the NPC tells me, like, you know, you have to leave, get out, blah blah blah. And I'm like, what did I do wrong though? And it didn't occur to me as I'm playing the video game that by being a black character in the South, in Louisiana, and walking into a place where there was clearly a no colored sign that I missed, that was my crime. And it was wild to think that like a video game could make me feel that kind of dread. So it was very kind of like in that very moment, it was very, very eye opening. And I was just like, okay, I gotta continue this game. I gotta beat it. And I have to talk about it. So,
you know,
I would say check it out still.
We were ending up the stream, but I just wanted to say it's kind of crazy that like, we talk about like it's history, like it's so long ago, but like it really wasn't that long ago. Like I was born in 80 and my mom was born in 60. So it's like, you know, it was like,
yeah, my mom was born in the 60s.
Right before I was born, all that stuff was just going down. Like,
I'm sure my mom grew up in New York, and I'm still sure she has some stories about, you know, people not being too kind to her because she's a black woman. And I mean, it happens now. It maybe not at the frequency it did in the 60s or in Louisiana in the 60s, but it's still here, it's still real, and it still happens. Segregation maybe not, like I haven't seen that happen, but the effects of segregation are still felt
today. As long as the people that are alive then are still alive now, you're not going to really see any changes happen too soon.
Yikes. That is,
well, I mean, they crazy. All carry over a lot of that same hostility and stuff from back then. They're not like I was saying, my mom was born in 60. She's only like turning 60 here soon. So it's not like, you know, these people are that much older than her that were part of the problem.
Yep. Absolutely. But yeah, you should definitely check out Mafia 3. It's still a very fun game. I think people should play it, if only because of the way that it kind of makes light, not makes light rather, but turns a rather light game like GTA into something a little heavier, something that might be a little harder to swallow. So check it out. Check out the bonus episode coming out probably this weekend. Whenever what would be this weekend? February 15th and 16th. Yep. So check it out. All right, and to finally finish off this episode, please let us know where and if you want to be found on the internet, and if you have anything else to plug.
You type in Death Monkey XL, I'm pretty sure I'll pop up everywhere. I'm like the only person that's snatched that name up, I think. So
Great job.
Google it, I'm everywhere. Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Xbox, everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm. Are you Death Monkey on Final Fantasy?
No.
Okay.
I'm not definitely on Final Fantasy.
Okay. I just wanted to,
make character names up. So
thank you. So do I. Okay.
I'm Oscar de Grouch.
I love it, and I also hate it. Perfect. All right. Well, as always, you can find me on Twitch and Twitter and everything else at Kami Jace Gaming. And you can also find the Weekly Cooldown on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Facebook page, visit Instagram. We now have an Instagram page. You'll see pictures of me mostly. Like, you're not already tired of this face. Look at it. look at it. But you also see other pictures, like of my Funko Pops back there. Back there. You'll also see some pictures of, not pictures, rather. You'll see some videos of the streams of the, oh yeah, the Google thing too. I have that. you'll see some clips from other episodes. So make sure you check all that out. Be sure to visit wkcooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to check out the Humble Bundle link in the description. There's always one there for you to get some discounted games, support your favorite charities, and support me, Kami Jace, here at the Weekly Cooldown. You can also support the Weekly Cooldown by donating. You can make a donation. It's cheap, I think. There's a link for that as well in the description. So check it all out. And thanks a lot for joining us on Twitch if you're here. I am, of course, once again, Kami Jace.
And I'm Death Monkey XL.
Yep, that's who you are. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye.